Part 2. In this part, you will hear 3 short talks. After each talk, you will hear 6 questions about it. Before each talk begins, you will have time to preview the questions. You will hear each talk and the questions once. You can take notes if you wish. Choose the correct answer, A, B, C, or D. Now you will hear the first talk. Look at the questions. Listen to a recreation officer talking to Cumberts.
Hello and welcome to Woodlawn Recreation Camp. I'm Mia and I'm a recreation officer. I'm here to acquaint you with the facilities in the camp and make sure you totally enjoy your small getaway. Before you get to your cabins, I'd like to share some information with you. For those of you who have opted for renting bedding and cookware, that will be delivered to your door in a few minutes. Also, have a look at the map you've been given and familiarize yourselves with where shower buildings and water fountains are. The times of the daily activities are printed on the flyer you should have been handed out on the coach. I believe we still have a few places left on the 3-mile hike along Lake Minnewaska Carriage Road, offered by Jean, our experienced hike guide, tomorrow. Or, if you want to encourage your children to discover the joy of fishing, join the family-oriented annual fishing festival in Lake Minnewaska. The event includes fly fishing instruction and prizes are awarded for the heaviest fish caught. Only keep in mind, loaner rods are on a first-come, first-served basis, and if you just want to sit on your balcony and unwind for the best part of the day, there's something for you too. Join the Woodlawn Bird Club for a free, all-age-appropriate walk around the park. You will be looking for fall migrant birds and waterfowl. Groups leave daily at daybreak and are back early enough for a mouth-watering brunch. One last thing I'd like to say. There are certain plants that can cause irritation if you touch them with bare skin. Also, there are some venomous snakes to beware of, and things can tend to be a bit slippery, so you'll be much better off in long pants, socks, and walking boots. So that's about all for the time being. Enjoy your stay with us and don't hesitate to contact me if you need anything.
Number 21. What do we learn about the cabins? Number 22. What did the Cumberts do on the coach? Number 23. What is true about the hike offered? Number 24. What will teenagers taking part in the annual fishing festival get? Number 25. What time will participants in the Woodlawn Bird Club walk leave? Number 26. What reason is not given for wearing long pants, socks, and walking boots? Now you will hear the second talk. Look at the questions. Listen to an aerospace engineer talking at a school event.
Hello. I'm going to start my talk by taking you back to 1967 when your grandparents were your age. The nations of the world came together to write the Outer Space Treaty, declaring that the exploration and use of outer space should be carried on for the benefit of all peoples, irrespective of their level of economic or scientific development. So maybe now we're close to living up to that ideal. For one, communication satellites can provide access to phone and internet service during times of disaster recovery, like hurricanes or earthquakes, when local communication networks need to be repaired. Scientists use positioning satellites to track endangered wildlife and then use this knowledge to help determine how to keep those animals alive. And navigation satellites can calculate the current local time to high precision, which allows time synchronization. Earth observation satellites take measurements of the ocean currents and the temperatures globally. Or they can look at the rainfall and snowfall across the planet or the annual cycle of vegetation on land and in the ocean. They can use this information to understand what areas on Earth are in danger of a famine or a drought and inform aid organizations so they can be prepared with food aid before the hunger becomes severe. Now in space, we have the International Space Station. On it, there is an absence of gravity. This is what scientists call microgravity. When astronauts are in the microgravity environment, their bodies react as if they're aging rapidly. Their bones and muscles weaken, and their cardiovascular system and their immune system change. As scientists study how to keep astronauts healthy in space, we can take the exercises and techniques we use for astronauts and transfer them to people on Earth to improve our health here. But we have work to do until we reach our 1967 commitment, until we can truly say that we are all space-enabled. But we are not there yet.
Number 27. What is the purpose of the talk? Number 28. When can communication satellites prove useful, according to the speaker? Number 29. Which satellites can help endangered species? Number 30. What is microgravity? Number 31. What kind of medical research can the astronauts on the International Space Station probably help with? Number 32. What does the speaker mean when he says,
"But we're not there yet"?
Now you will hear the third talk. Look at the questions. Listen to an athletic trainer talking to student athletes in a college.
Good morning, ladies. I've asked you to be here today because some of you have confided some problems to me, and I think this is an opportunity to talk to all of you. I know that, for you student athletes, it's a heavy burden balancing school, sports, and your social lives. Sometimes these competing priorities collide, and you suddenly cannot keep your heads above water. And sometimes mental health issues can arise, so this is the topic of my talk. Because our relationship stretches over the 4 to 5 years you spent here, I want you to feel comfortable sharing personal information with me, even if some of that may include mental health concerns. What my experience has taught me is that most athletes believe it is a weakness if you can't perform on the field due to psychological barriers. Being athletes, they're not supposed to face them. Well, this is such a misconception. What I'm trying to say is that if you ever feel you've lost control of your emotions, just come forward and talk to me. I'm not going to judge you, but listen to you in the most sensitive manner. Again, experience has taught me, and I don't want to sound patronizing, that you always have options and things can get better. But if talking about your problems doesn't help much, I may have to refer you to the counseling center. And let me explain how this works. You will just have to spend 50 minutes with a counselor during the intake appointment. From there, together you will decide what services are needed. As simple as that. The last thing I want to reassure you of is that whatever problems you face, your place on the team will not be jeopardized. I'll give you the time you need to heal and stand by you all the way.
Number 33. What does the speaker mean when she says,
"You suddenly cannot keep your heads above water"?
Number 34. What does the speaker say about the athletic trainer student athlete relationship? Number 35. What does the speaker say about student athletes experiencing mental problems? Number 36. What will the athletic trainer do if a student athlete's mental problems persist? Number 37. Who will make the decision what treatment the student athlete will receive? Number 38. What is true of a student athlete who faces mental health issues? End of part 2.